This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. Today on the show, a couple of very American artists, the novelist Jonathan Franzen and the painter Georgia O'Keeffe. But first,
there is somebody out there in a tightrope walk between the two towers of the World Trade Center, right at the tippy top.
It's August 7th, 1974, and President Nixon is just about to resign. But it was this surprising, literally marvelous news report that had people riveted.
That somebody was Philippe Petit, a 24-year-old Frenchman, doing his higher wire act 1,350 feet up and no net below.
Philippe Petit's illegal daredevil walk between the towers, 110 stories up, makes me woozy even to contemplate. As the 10-year anniversary of 9/11 approaches, it's worth remembering the Twin Towers when they were nothing but brand new and amazing. A terrific film about the walk, called Man on Wire, won the Oscar for Best Documentary. 3 years ago, I met up with Petit and the film's director, James Marsh, right by Ground Zero, where the towers used to stand. Philippe, here you are, 34 years later. You were 24 at the time. There you were, a quarter mile up. The Twin Towers were brand new. When you walked out there, do you remember what you felt like?
I have moment-to-moment memories, and the more I relive the past, the more I am able to actually recompose that and discovering new feeling that I thought had fluttered away. So, yes, I remember each of those eight crossing, and as you know, it was not planned. It just happened that I did one more and one more. It was a performance, but a strange kind of performance because my audience could not be invited in advance. And also they were a quarter of a mile below me, so, but still it was a performance. But it was also a very intimate dialogue with me and the birds, me and the sky of New York, me and the Twin Towers.
You and history as well. You must have thought...
No, I never thought of that.
No,
I was a young wire walker busy conquering an idea. I never thought of the consequences. I would have not cared if I had thought of the consequences. And I never thought of the fame, if it would come, knock at my door. No, this was not the reason I was there, and it was not part of my thinking.
You mentioned that you... And the film reenacts the moment when you first got this idea. Is talk about that. It was only what, 6-7 years before you actually did it. How did that happen?
Well, exactly as James reconstructed it and tells in his photoplay. I like that term.
Indeed, it's a photoplay.
Because it's a play. I mean, it's and the first scene is actually how I got the idea, and it's exactly how it appears in the film.
Here I am, young, 17 years old, with a bad tooth in one of those uncolorful waiting room of a French dentist, and you have all ladies and people, you know, sheepishly looking at magazines, quiet, and suddenly I freeze, because I have opened a newspaper at a page, and I see something magnificent, something that inspires me. I see two towers, and the article says one day those towers will be built. They're not even there yet. And when they are, they will become the highest in the world.
And yes, I saw two buildings that was a rendering because at the time they didn't exist yet.
And do you remember the first time you arrived in New York, sort of casing the joint and saw the...
I remember everything. I am an archivist at heart, and I have a sense for details. For example, before you said hello, I saw you arrive, and I know that the third button on your left sleeve is about to fall. Okay, so this is who I am. The street juggler in me pay attention. So yes, I remember vividly my first impression of New York. It was old and dirty, smelly, because there was a strike of garbage, and it was modern and beautiful. It was a big mess. And I remember my first vision of the towers and my first visit illegally in the towers.
You say that you noticed the button on my jacket, which is amazing. James, when you first met Philippe, he told you he had the mind of a criminal. Does that seem so?
Well, I'd read Philippe's book by the time we met, and his book lays out a very elaborate criminal conspiracy that he undertook with close friends and associates he found in the city. Certainly, I think that the kind of lateral thinking, the kind of imagination that he needed to conceive of this crime, if you like, and to conceive of the logistics of it and to execute it was, you know, clearly the mind of someone who didn't respect boundaries and laws and rules. And that's one of the things
or
I love
sanity,
about the story.
Sanity, some could argue.
I wouldn't argue that. But that's one of the things that I love about the story itself, is it has no respect for, you know, even the laws of nature, ultimately, in a way. So I wasn't surprised to find a man rummaging in my pockets and stealing things from me. And that was, I think, the basis under which we collaborated, was that sense of mischief and playfulness.
Philippe, you say in the film that while it was illegal, it wasn't wicked or mean, this violation of the law and of the norms of modern life. Did you see yourself at 24 as a kind of holy outlaw?
Oh, absolutely, but not at 24. It started at 4 years old. 4, 5, 6 years old, I was already building my independence and shaping my destiny. So yes, this kind of need for rebellion, and one could see it as arrogance, still is in me after all these years.
I remember people talking about how, oh, this amazing act had humanized these gargantuan new buildings. Did you have any thought of, well, if you fail, if you fall?
Well, I would have loved to be able to have such a thought, but I am incapable of
really?
Having such thoughts. I concentrate and I live and I walk forward what I want to do, which is to walk on a cable. The opposite of walking on a cable, flying away from a piece of steel on which you walk, I'm incapable of entertaining that thought because it's in a different world than the one that I have created and I decided to live in.
Yeah, so it is the ultimate power of positive thinking.
I don't think it's only thinking. I think it's much more than that. I think it's the chemistry of your blood in your veins and the pulsation of your heart or the many hearts you don't even know
you
possess.
So you're like a superhero. You're not a mortal.
No, the word hero, I run far away from it, but I know it's a nice word in America. You have gurus, you have heroes, you have gods, but...
Superman.
Superman, yes. I do not have heroes in my life. I have great artists who have inspired me, and I suddenly would never label myself as a hero. I am too busy building the next
project. But that ability to, on this molecular level, the level of your blood, to not allow for this idea of failure and falling, makes you not like most people, not like anyone I can imagine.
Well, you can pronounce toward me the word alien, and
okay.
I will be honored. But the word hero, no.
Okay. There's a particularly gasp-inspiring still of you on the wire between the buildings, where there's this big jetliner over your shoulder, essentially. And as one sees that, can't help but think of 9/11. Do you remember having? At this, doing this wondrous, amazing, marvelous thing 20 years, 18 years later, hearing about 9/11 and what you thought?
What is beautiful is what James decided to show in his film, is that those towers are still present, and it will be very nice, besides remembering them in their drama and in their horror and death, it will be nice that there is a work of art, a beautiful film, that remember those towers in their glory. Even people who are completely living into the drama part, let's say people who lost their loved one in a disaster of 9/11, they come to James and I and says, you know, it's amazing, it's a revelation. I realize, actually, when you lose somebody, you should remember that person in tears, but also in laughter, in doom, but also in glory. So I think it's beautiful that James decided to really separate my adventure. Yes, the thing in common with 9/11 is the Twin Towers. But those Twin Towers had a life before they had a death. And that's what this film is about.
And, of course, you know, we're all aware of the subtext. And it's there for everyone. Everyone in the whole world is familiar with the imagery and the fact of their demise. And it felt a blasphemy to burden Philippe's story with any discussion or any reference to that horror show. And it's a film and a story about them being built and then being conquered and being celebrated in a certain kind of way. And it would be wrong to put some kind of crass interpretation on that. And I think people should enjoy the film for what it is, as a celebration of this, you know, miracle that was performed down there, this gripping kind of adventure story.
Philippe, did you like the buildings?
I fell in love with them. I am unable to stretch a cable between two structures that I do not fall in love with.
Really?
And repeatedly in my life, in a silly way, I say no to high-wire propositions. I am not interested. And it's usually because artistically it makes no sense for me.
If there were two buildings of the right height suitable to you and you fell in love with them, would you want to repeat this?
Yes, and I actually publicly announced that long time ago. I said if the two towers are rebuilt in some kind of twin ways, you know, not exactly the same, but two towers, I will offer to New York to do a walk, you know, a dance against doom in some ways, and have all New York and whole world, you know, celebrating the fact that it's built again, except unfortunately, very unfortunately, there will be one structure, not two, so I obviously need two structures to walk on a high wire.
Maybe from this film, the developers will help get the idea that some of the subsequent buildings, two of the subsequent buildings could be twins.
Well, they certainly had enough time to talk about it.
And they'll have more. Well, thank you both very much.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
And I'll be sure to get my button sewn back on. James Marsh's documentary about Philippe Petit is called Man on Wire. We spoke in 2008.